in a sense, that makes Ezra and his companions part of the family of Jesus, because they heard the word of God and acted on it. All of a sudden, we're beginning, as we get close to the end of the liturgical year, this reading from the book of Ezra, which is all about the rebuilding of Israel. They were shattered. They were broken. All carried off into exile. And they knew it was because they'd sinned. And God would... And he let the temple be destroyed. In a little part that we haven't read, they rebuilt this temple, okay? And it was dedicated. And the author makes sort of a symbol of this whole restoration period. The old people who remembered the former temple saw this temple and started weeping. So this is a temple. And the young people who hadn't seen one and had a house now in which to worship God were excited. And the author says, and the sounds of the weeping and the sounds of the rejoicing, they mingled together and you couldn't tell the difference. Ambiguity was there. You just heard this. Ezra's understanding to rebuild the people is the word of God. He's responsible for the way the Bible is written out now and organized, and that's Ezra. Collecting all the traditions, written and oral, and making, you know, collecting for God's people the word of God. We're very grateful to him. The whole Old Testament, which is our Bible, comes from this man's effort. And his companion was Nehemiah, who built the city, protected a wall around the city so people could live in peace and worship God, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. We sing every morning, right? And built the wall. Trowel in one hand, sword in the other. Because the neighbors trying to, their enemies trying to stop them. So it's great to see, isn't it? And as we set about trying to build the church, not so that we can have a big, strong organization and make a lot of money, but so that the word of God will be preached. So we need this kind of zeal. We need this kind of zeal. It's beautiful. We come then in the gospel once again to this incident described twice by Luke, different wording. Somebody, the other one, a woman cries out, "Oh, your mother was a lucky woman. You know, blessed be the womb that bore you and the breasts that gave you food," you know. What is Jesus doing here? You see, he's not worried about his mother. He knows that she knows. He's trying to clear this up. Though, she herself had to grow. John Paul II in his encyclical points this out. She had to grow in faith, as we do. And sometimes with, you know, this being the physical mother of Jesus is a wonderful, wonderful privilege. That's not what makes her great. What makes her great is she gave her whole life to God. Every moment of it. And so when she heard these words, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God, these are my mother and brothers," she knew that's right. That's right. So you want to be the mother of Jesus? You want to be the mother, brother and sister? Keep the word of God. That's what it says. My mother and my brothers, are those who hear the word of God and act on it. Because the first place to which we give birth to God is in our own soul, by obeying the word, like Ezra and Nehemiah. Do it. Obey. Listen. Seek. Cherish. And let the word change us, you see. Yes, there are many places in Scripture where Jesus, the living, eternal Son of God, brings his mother to another level. At Cana, she said, look, they're out of wine. And probably the better translation, well, what is that to you and me, woman? No son ever calls his mother woman. Jesus calls other people women. If you read the Gospels, plenty of them. But never your mother. Why is he saying that to her? He's saying, woman, remember, she shall be called woman because she's taken from man. You are Eve, you understand, and I'm Adam. And we are going to build a new race and bring it back to God the Father. And they will be in this world, and they will give hope to this world. They will let the world know who I am and what I've done for them. And you are the Eve of this new race, and I am the Adam. We have, we're moving now into another realm. It's the same here. You see, they came to him. They couldn't get close because of the crowd. Your mother and your brothers are standing out there. And he took the opportunity to drive home a point, not to his mother who knew it well, but to everybody else. You want to be my relative? Do the will of my Father. And we're relatives. It's that simple. Let's pray today. We've had two great examples in the scriptures today of zeal. Of zeal. Zeal for God and zeal for God's people and all God's children. I've said this so many times, but you know, as I stand here preaching, I can see all these cars going back and forth on this road here. Where are they going? What's on their mind? What state is their family in? You know, are they going to lose their job and all this economic crunch? Who are they? Pray for them.